St. Salvator of Horta, Confessor, First Order. In the 16th century, when the faith, especially in Germany, was so mightily shaken by the so-called reformers, when the sign of the cross was abolished as a superstitious practice, Almighty God permitted this very sign of the cross to shine with special power and radiance in order to strengthen the faith in another country. This was in Spain, and it was through the great miracle worker of the 16th century, Saint Salvator of Horta. Salvator was born of poor parents in the year 1520. Orphaned when still quite young, he tended cattle and was later sent as an apprentice to a shoemaker in Barcelona. His devout heart, however, was constantly prompting him to consecrate himself to God. So when he was 20 years old, he entered the Franciscan order as a lay brother. He distinguished himself among his brethren by rigorous mortification, profound humility, and extraordinary simplicity. Almighty God, who chooses the lowly to make known the wonders of his power, manifested his power in Salvator at the very beginning of his religious life. Salvator was sent to assist the brother in the kitchen, and one day, when the cook was ill, Salvator had to undertake the entire round of duties alone. When it was close to the noon hour, the father guardian went to the kitchen to see what Brother Salvator had prepared. He found the kitchen locked. After looking for Salvator for a considerable time, he finally found him kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, deeply absorbed in prayer. Salvator had been there since early morning without being aware of it. The superior reproved him severely, and Salvator acknowledged his guilt amid many tears, begging for a severe penance. How astonished, however, were both men when they arrived at the kitchen and found all the food ready to be served. The angels had substituted for Salvator. After pronouncing his vows, Salvator was sent to the convent at Tortosa. Although he was assigned in turn to the duties of cook, porter, and quester of alms, he was nevertheless continually recollected and intimately united with God. While gathering alms, he often came upon sick people for whom his prayers were requested. He would make the sign of the cross over them, and immediately they were healed. News of this fact soon spread abroad, and many sick were brought to the convent. All were restored to health through the sign of the cross which Brother Salvator made over them. The concourse of sick people, however, finally became so great that it disturbed the good order in the convent. So the superior sent Brother Salvator to the nearby convent of Horta, where he spent the greater part of his religious life, hence his surname of Horta. Although the transfer was made in perfect secrecy, and no one had been informed of it, the sick presented themselves at the convent at Horta already in the first days after his arrival there, and their number increased daily. The deaf, the blind, the dumb, the lame, the epileptic came. The paralytic, the dropsical, those afflicted with fevers, and sufferers of every type were brought to him on beds, so that Brother Salvator might restore their health. Usually there were as many as 2,000 a week, sometimes that many in one day, and once, on the feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin, as many as 6,000 made their appearance. One time the Grand Inquisitor, a renowned theologian, whose duty it was to guard the purity of the faith, came in order to learn whether anything occurred there that savored of superstition. Without giving any indication of his rank, he took his station at a corner of the church where the sick were expecting the healing hand of Brother Salvator. When the good religious arrived, he had the sick make way for him as he passed through their ranks till he reached the Grand Inquisitor. There he reverently kissed the latter's hand and begged him to come to the upper church, where he could watch the entire proceedings. Astonished at finding himself recognized, the inquisitor was already assured of the power from on high which held sway there. Nevertheless, he followed the brother. Salvatore began, as usual, to admonish the sick to examine their conscience and to receive the sacraments of penance and of the Holy Eucharist worthily. Then he blessed them with the sign of the cross while he called upon the Blessed Trinity and imposed on them a few prayers in honor of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to whose intercession he ascribed all the cures. The sufferers were then all suddenly cured, except, as Salvatore had foretold, those who were not sincere in their conversion. In order to test the humility of the brother and to preserve him in it, his superiors frequently imposed heavy trials, but he always remained an obedient, humble, and contented religious. A prominent gentleman once warned Salvatore that he should be on his guard against pride and presumption. The good brother answered, "I always think of myself as a sack full of straw. The sack is indifferent as to whether it lies in a stable or is brought into a magnificent room." The last 2 years of his life were spent on the island of Sardinia, and there he died in the convent of Cagliari on March 18th, 1567. Innumerable miracles occurred also at his grave. The uninterrupted devotion to the saint was confirmed by Pope Clement XI. He was canonized by Pope Pius XI in 1938. On the power of the sign of the cross. Consider what great miracles Blessed Salvatore wrought by means of the sign of the cross. That should not at all astonish us, for since it is from the cross that all salvation proceeds, especially the saving of souls from hell, why should it not be able to heal the body too of its diseases? Yet only those were cured that in all sincerity first cleansed their souls in the sight of God. For, said Saint Salvatore, God does not confer special favors on his enemies. If we would first of all secure the friendship of God, and then with the reverence, the lively faith, and firm hope of Saint Salvatore make the sign of the cross, we too would surely even today experience its miraculous powers. How have you acted in the past? Consider that we ought to make the sign of the cross to obtain the blessing of God on all our undertakings. With the sign of the cross, we call the attention of our Heavenly Father to the death which His beloved Son suffered for us. Will He refuse to hear us for its sake? Thomas A. Kempis says, "In the cross is salvation, in the cross is life, in the cross is strength of mind, in the cross is joy of spirit, in the cross is infusion of heavenly sweetness, in the cross is height of virtue, in the cross is perfection of sanctity." We do not make the sign of the cross often enough. We should make it especially on awakening in the morning, before and after prayer, before and after work, on entering our home as well as the church. Then everything will be placed under the protection of Christ crucified, of whom Saint Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Acts 4:12. Have you made diligent use of the sign of the cross? Consider that we should protect ourselves from evil with the sign of the cross. On the cross, Christ atoned for sin, which is the source of all evil, and vanquished the devil, the enemy of our salvation. That is why the child is so frequently signed with the cross at holy baptism, so that the devil may have no more power over it. If he tempts you, sign yourself with the cross, Bless yourself confidently, also in all dangers to which your body or your temporal affairs are exposed. In times of worry and heavy suffering that threaten to depress you, again make the sign of the cross. Just as the bitter water which the Israelites found in the desert became palatable when at God's command they threw the embers of wood into it, so does the devout use of the sign of the cross make the bitterness of suffering sweet and meritorious. Prayer of the Church. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who celebrate the memory of thy servant Salvator may through his intercession be delivered from all evils here on earth, and may one day attain to the eternal joys. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint Salvator of Horta,
pray for us.